The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the territory of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, at once, a man from the tombs who had an unclean spirit met him. The man had been dwelling among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any longer, even with a chain. In fact, he had frequently been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles smashed, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the hillsides, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and prostrated himself before him, crying out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." He had been saying to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." He asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "Legion is my name. There are many of us." And he pleaded earnestly with him not to drive them away from that territory. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they pleaded with him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." And he let them. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine. The herd of about 2,000 rushed down a steep bank into the sea, where they were drowned. The swineherds ran away and reported the incident in the town and throughout the countryside, and the people came out to see what had happened. As they approached Jesus, they caught sight of the man who had been possessed by legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were seized with fear. Those who witnessed the incident explained to them what had happened to the possessed man and to the swine. Then they began to beg him to leave their district. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed pleaded to remain with him. But Jesus would not permit him, but told him instead, "Go home to your family and announce to them all that the Lord in his pity has done for you." Then the man went off and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what Jesus had done for him, and all were amazed. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. How about just a tiny little thought for you here for the day? Remember, the Gospel of Mark is the shortest gospel in the Bible. So Mark wastes no time explaining who Jesus is and what he's come to do. Okay, so one of the very first things you hear in the Gospel of Mark is the story of the stilling of the storm on the sea. And all the hush of the roar of the waves stilled to nothing. And the apostles, they look at one another and they say, "Who is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him." Of course, you're supposed to now begin to think about that. This is God come down to earth to set right what all of sin has destroyed and distorted. Even the destructive power of nature. And then very, very soon here in the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus drives out demons, just like the story that you just heard. Okay. And why does Mark tell us that story? To show that God has power even over sin and even over the powers of evil. The destructive powers that distort God's image in us. You want to know what the destructive powers of sin and evil that distort God's image in us look like? Take a look at this man in the story, okay? Take a look at this man in the story, the possessed man. And remember that when God made you, he made you with a mind to know what's true and to appreciate what's good and to understand. Now look what sin has done. Look at this man. No understanding. All he can do is shriek and howl and bark. God made you with a will to choose what's good and to love. Now look at this man. All he can do is harm others and harm himself. And God made you to exist in a community, in homes and families and parishes. Look at this man, apart by himself, away from his home, away from his family, living among the tombs, howling among the caves. And remember, this man, he's possessed, but every time we commit a sin, God's beautiful image in us gets distorted. Lust, greed, pride, sloth, whatever it might be, all of the above, weakens your will. It becomes very, very hard to do the right thing. The more you sin, the harder it gets. And it distorts your understanding. You stop even understanding the difference between right and wrong in the first place. Reason grows soft. Love grows cold. And so what do? Just like this man in the story, we take these certain measures to try to make ourselves better. And here in the story, they bind him up with shackles and chains. What does the man do with those shackles and chains? He smashes them like they're made out of paper mache. And so too is the strength of your own will against merely human helps, you know, like psychology or technology, or, you know, you'll find things like new agey things like crystals. And what does that do to set right what's wrong in us? It does nothing at all. Just like these shackles, we just smash right through them. Only the power of grace can heal what sin has distorted. Only the power of Jesus Christ can set right all that evil and sin has disfigured in God's beautiful creation. Look what happens to this man once Jesus is finished with him. He's in his right mind. He's back together with his family, and his natural attraction is back to God again. He wants to follow Jesus on the way. What does God's grace do to us? Heals our will, heals our thoughts, and heals our relationship with God, self, and others. However, the big however is it requires your cooperation. Okay? That's where we're very much like these townspeople. And they beg Jesus to leave their district. Why did they beg Jesus to leave their district? Why didn't they say, "Oh, that's amazing. Why don't you stay around and teach us some more?" Because he hit them right in the pocketbook. That's why. These people are pig farmers. And he just sent 2,000 pigs squealing off a cliff, right, to their deaths. It's going to take them 2 or 3 years to rebreed all those pigs. He hit them right in the pocketbook. And there's a lesson in that. Following Jesus Christ always comes at a cost. Are you willing to pay the price? Whenever there's no price to pay, you know, things like Christmas or the baptism of a cute little baby, there's no price to pay whatsoever. Everybody loves that. But there's so much in our faith that sets us against the current of the world, and we're like a fish swimming up the stream. It's so difficult. It's so easy to quit. You know, in areas of marriage and family and sexuality, it costs us something. When Jesus Christ costs you something, what do you say to him? Are you like this man who says, "Lord, let me keep following you"? Or are you like these townspeople who say, "Lord, please, I beg you, go someplace else"? Only when we persevere, and this is again the value of perseverance, can God's grace get inside our souls and reverse the curse and heal what our own sins and the sins of the world around us have so terribly, terribly disfigured. Okay? So that's what we have to do. Persevere, persevere, and persevere in prayer, in repentance, in receiving the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, especially confession, to allow God's grace to set right what sin has set wrong, so that God, who has begun the good work in you, can bring it to fulfillment. Amen.